Now, breakout rooms closing in 45 seconds. Right. Oh, right. Christine is still talking to Barry in the team room. That's why she's not here. Right. So I'm not sure if I've preempted her. Maybe she wants to make a grand entrance. But by the time she comes here, I think we'll be through the second song. Yeah, Barry. So I'm not sure whether it's going to be the Barry window or the Amy window.
The Amy window.
It'll be the Amy window.
Maybe the Amy. Right, and we unmute. You want to unmute them?
Asked to unmute.
Was it nice to look at some faces that are not wrinkled and grey?
He's looking in the mirror.
Yeah, I'm looking in the mirror, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for the compliment, Steve.
That's right. I was looking at you.
Hello, everybody. Right, we've got a couple of songs for you all, haven't we? Which one are we going to start with, Faith?
Come Now, Fount of Every Blessing.
Okay, so, ready, guys? Right. This is a song that we've been practicing. Actually, at the beginning of lockdown, when we moved over to Northern Ireland, we said we'd try and learn pretty much off by heart some songs, and this was the first one that we have tried to learn off by heart. I have got the words in front of me, just in case I forget them. Okay.
Come thou fount of every blessing, shew my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither
is I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. So sing along in your houses. Praise the Lord with us.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much. That was a blessing, a real blessing. Thank you.
Hey, Mike. Hello, Micah.
Oh. Wow. Well, follow that, folks. Now, the people who weren't joining in, I think we ought to have a song from them. Give me a wave if you're joining in. Yeah, brilliant. It's good to praise the Lord, isn't it? And that's something that I think we're missing on the Zoom thing, being able to sing corporately, which is such a shame. But that's the best we can do for the moment. And that's such a blessing, having the children with us. Yeah. Joy is so important. And something I've not cracked yet is being able to praise God in the midst of whatever. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight who has cracked that and can share with us how they've managed to really express the joy of the Lord in difficult times. Any hands that the co-hosts can see? I haven't got the list up at the moment. Let's have a look. Gosh, I think we all need a masterclass in it then, don't we? Oh, some hands. Okay, I think...
Can I share?
Oh, hello, Robert. Yes, of course you can.
Hello.
Hello.
This story will be known to all my Shamar friends, but a few years ago, we had the sadness of a young member of my family, 18 years of age, committed suicide. Mm. He threw himself off the Humber Bridge. And it was a very, as you can imagine, it was a very traumatic and painful time for all our family. And Ginny and the rest of the team were absolutely fantastic with me and very supportive and everything. And what we ended up doing, I think just about everybody of the Shamar who's on the course today, we met with David and Kayla Macro up at the Humber Bridge not long after the event. And we split into two teams, and some of us went to the north of the bridge. John and Diane and Emma were south of the bridge, and we walked and we met in the middle. Mm. And we worshipped the Lord. I think, I'm not sure, Ginny, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong on this. It was over an hour, and we worshipped the Lord, and it was a dismal, grey, horrible day. Mm. But as we worshipped and as we worshipped, the clouds broke and the sun shone through, and we were blowing the shofar. And we were worshiping and everything. And it seemed as if the traffic stopped, as if mm-hmm. God just gave us this clear time of rejoicing in him. And also what I would like to share is something that David Andrew shared last night about the guy, said that they saw, when the guy hung himself, he saw him catching him, yeah. the suicide man. Somebody actually saw a picture of Christopher, my young family member, of the hands of the Lord catching him as he hit the water.
Wow.
And when I went to the funeral, the vicar was so very positive, because it obviously there's a lot of bad press about people committing suicide and a lot of stigma, religion takes over and everything. And she actually preached at the funeral from Psalm 139 about being fearlessly and wonderfully made. And she was just so positive, and the whole family gained great comfort from that. And it was the word of the Lord and the opportunity to worship that built us all up, and also being surrounded by such a great team of people like Ginny and John and Diane and Rosie and Uncle Tom Cobley and all. And if that helps some people, then I pray that God will encourage people through that.
Thank you very much, Robert. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, something that's really blessed me the last few days, I've had to get up much earlier than usual. And for a long time, I've not been getting up until I woke up, because being up during the night several times with an elderly dog for about 18 months. But, you know, no options with the conference going on. So for each morning, I've been out in that precious time between dawn and sunrise. And wow, it is absolutely fantastic. I took a couple of photos one morning. I haven't got the wherewithal to actually show you, and they're probably not that much good on a screen like this. But, I start to think, the one that really comes to mind is When Morning Gilds the Skies, My Heart Awakening Cries, back from school days. Anybody else remember that one? Give me a wave. Yeah. Yeah, we're all the same sort of vintage, aren't we? And I end up singing that. Another one that, while we're on that subject, I end up in the Scottish mountains. I love Scotland, and the number of times in absolutely phenomenal scenery, I'm singing at the top of my voice, How Great Thou Art. And if there's anybody else around, they just have to put up with it. But, you know, when you're in a stunning situation in God's creation, you just can't help but just let it all out and tell the world, rejoice with nature. I think the more we get out there and enjoy His creation, the more we can, get into praise when we might be feeling pretty groggy anyway that morning or that day. But just taking a look at what God's created. I can remember at a campsite a few years ago, chatting to the staff by the facilities block, and there was a passion flower growing up the wall there, and it was absolutely beautiful. And one of the staff stood there and he said, "Wow, it looks as if it's been designed." I said, "Well, of course it was designed." And he looked at me. I said, "Yes." "Oh, yes." But just to look at a flower, a leaf, a tree, the shape of the tree, nature from its tiniest, you know, where you need a magnifying glass to see these little creepy crawlies, through to the greatest things and the sunsets. And the clouds are never the same. It's a painting we have every day from the Lord. And, you know, there is so much that He gives us to enjoy that in our busy lives, in built-up cities and things, it's difficult to take your eyes off yourself and your situation and look up. And there's always something there that God has for us to inspire us, to show us a little bit something of His character. He is just so good to us. Now then, asking at this stage for songs for anybody to sing any songs, but if two people with their hands up at the moment, if it's what you're offering is a testimony of how you have found joy in the depths of something, that's what we're looking for at the moment. Perhaps Pat, would you like to share with us first, if that's the sort of testimony you have?
It's similar because John and I just love the outdoors, walking, God's creation, and also John particularly loves bird watching. So John's been ill actually since April with depression and anxiety. So he's been dipping in and out of conference when he felt able to. At the moment, he's doing the washing up, and I really don't want to disturb him from doing that. So it's been a challenge. It's been a tremendous challenge in our, you know, little bungalow with him not being well for a long period of time. But we're so blessed because we're able to go out for a little walk, and we can just walk from where we live straight on to Dartmoor without crossing a road. So we are very, very blessed. So anyway, we, in the gorgeous summer evenings, we'd go out in the sort of cool of the evening just for a short walk, because it's affected his physicality as well. So we go for this one particular night. It was a beautiful evening. It'd been hot in the day, it had cooled down, but it was just absolutely beautiful, perfect. And we walked up by a little stream and sat down by the stream, dangling our feet in it, and just sitting there peacefully. And then we lay back, and swallows appeared in their hundreds, really. If John was here, you might say, no, it wasn't swallows, it was house martins, but I think it was swallows. Anyway, and they were dipping, so they swooped down, and loads of people probably know this, but they swoop down and swoop into the stream, and then swoop up again, having a drink and also getting insects. And we lay there and watch them while they sort of put on this beautiful performance for us, which went on for ages and ages, and it was just so precious and uplifting. And we were so blessed, and, you know, all glory to the Lord, because he obviously arranged that for us very nicely. And but we've appreciated every time on Dartmoor, rain, whatever. Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pat. Thank you. Okay, Shani. Hi. Can you unmute Shani, please?
Sorry. Sheila. I've been rather confined in my flat for, 9 months now, and for various reasons. But, and of course, there are moments when the memories and things come to one, but the Lord lifts me up and I get songs and hymns. And one that I put in particular that I get quite a lot is Faithful One, So Unchanging. And I can't stop singing. And I sing and sing. And even my neighbour said on one phone call, I can hear you singing. And so I just want to say that's what the Lord does. He lifts me up and I sing to him and praise him. And that's quite extraordinary what he does in my spirit and in my person, you know, and helps me so much.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. I think sometimes we need to just take that first step and start to sing. And
the Lord.
Yeah. Something about praising God with your voice that pushes back the darkness, the oppression, whatever it is that you're in at the time.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for that very much. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else got any testimony about finding the joy of the Lord when things are tough?
I think Rose Jenks is waving at the bottom of my screen.
Where's she gone? Can somebody find her?
She's waving her glasses. She's waving all over the place.
Oh, she's obviously...
Got two hands. She's got a double wave now.
Right.
Asked her to unmute.
Okay, so I'm ready. I just wanted to say that 2 years ago, someone gave me a book after I'd come out of a long stretch in the hospital, and the title was a bizarre title. It's called The Insanity of God, and the author was Nick Ripkin. And I didn't think the title suited the book, but the book was about some missionaries who went off to Somalia, and it was a pretty soul-destroying time to spend a few years in Somalia and see that they'd failed at everything they'd done. So then as a businessman, he took his little spreadsheet and went around the world interviewing people who had survived persecution for religious purposes. And I would never have thought a spreadsheet or a businessman could come up with any ideas on how you survive persecution. But nevertheless, he did. And he found that the most successful method of surviving persecution was singing. So it's a pretty touching and informative book called The Insanity of God by Nick Ripkin. And it gave me certainly improved my opinion of singing, which was always good anyway, but really a good thing to know. When things are really glum, just as Sheila does, whether you want to sing or not, just start singing. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Rose. Thank you. Thanks. I think we have Barbara next from across the pond. Can somebody unmute her, please?
Okay. I had to run an errand. I just got back, and during your dinner, it was my lunch. And when I came back in just now in the house, this alarm clock that I had set with your time, I've got a clock with your time, or a clock with my time, so I make sure concerning your time. So it was alarming. I didn't know that I had pressed the alarm button. It alarmed at 7 something, so I hope nobody heard it. It was just going. When I left, drove out the driveway, as I left, there were all these, and I expected this, all these branches on the ground in the driveway. And we have a lot of pine trees. Do y'all have pine trees there? Okay. We have a lot of pine trees, and a lot of the small ones will die. And so we've got a lot of these little small, you know, rotten ones, and any strong winds would just blow them out, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there are all these pieces of branch debris. So I started picking them up, and the Lord seemed to say, this is like the dead wood that the wind, the Holy Spirit, will blow out of your heart if you allow him to. And I said, okay, let's get rid of it. So I love the outside. Yeah, I've got flowers, and I've been trying to make me what I call my little English garden right out here in the front yard that I've been working on for about 12 years, probably. There's not a whole lot out there, but I've made a little pathway and between it, and worked real hard on it. And the Lord blesses me, you know, when I get out, and he speaks to me a lot, you know, through nature.
Brilliant. So, yeah, thank you very much for sharing that. Yeah,
I'm glad you. I'm still here, by the way. Yes, the power came back on about 3 hours ago. So
that's good. That's good. It's good to have you with us again. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. If you do, some people unfortunately don't have gardens or aren't able to do much in them, but even if you can just grow a houseplant. I used to have lots of houseplants when I lived before that. But here, I just don't have the light indoors, which is such a shame, because as I've already, you can tell, I like the natural world. And there's just so much joy from seeing God's creation in big and small things. If there's just something you can have in a pot on your window ledge, you know, go for it. It's not too much hard work. Okay, let's see what Shirley has got to offer for us tonight. Hi, Shirley, you're on.
Thank you. Well, my husband was ill for 15 years and he went to glory about 4 years ago. But he came to the Lord through my four-year-old son, really, saying, why doesn't my daddy go to church like all the other daddies? And he did eventually. But, you know, then he had double dementia for 15 years with vascular and Alzheimer's and eventually prostate cancer as well. But when he first got saved, he was like nearly 50. And he was so full of the joy of the Lord, he wrote 56 songs, which I still sing. And I looked after him first 8 years, and then I couldn't because I couldn't lift him and he was doubly incontinent. So he went into a local care home and there were some wonderful Filipino nurses there who loved the Lord. And they used to say they loved going into his room because it was only the only room in the whole place that was peaceful. And he was constantly singing until later the mini strokes took away his speech. But he was humming still humming to the Lord until the very day he went to be with the Lord. He never stopped singing.
That is wonderful.
So full of the joy of the Lord.
That is wonderful. If that's not the joy of the Lord in a difficult situation, I don't know what is. That is wonderful. Thank you for sharing it with us, Shirley.
It's a joy to share it.
Yeah, I think that should encourage all of us. You know, our situation isn't like that. It may be tough. It may be difficult. But there isn't anything to stop us singing. You know, it doesn't matter if the neighbours aren't so keen. They might enjoy. And, you know, when you're out walking or now something I'm going to suggest to everybody this week, you've been indoors a lot. I don't know how many have actually stuck your head out the door or the window at all, if you're able to, that is. But can I suggest that before tomorrow morning session, if you can just get a few gulps of fresh air, you will really feel the benefit. It may be throwing it down, so it might be wet air. But certainly I've been glad I've been able to get out with Samson. Well, no option. It's been wet a couple of times, but just that moving around in the fresh air, that gives you a lift as well. I think so many of us have been stuck indoors an awful lot lately. Anyway, not necessarily on Zoom. Paul's got a
thing. I'll just add to that, Christine, because I've got into a habit that ever since lockdown began, that I will always start my day, once I'm dressed, shall we say, outside the front door. And make sure for at least a minute I'm thanking God, particularly for the air that I can breathe, because people are having difficulties breathing, for the oxygen that he's provided in my lungs, for the birds that I can see. And of course, when we first went into lockdown, didn't the birds sing so sweetly for a while? But even those annoying birds on the rooftop sometimes. And just thank God for what I can see. And then I will close my door, go back in and have my breakfast. But every morning now, I take those gulps of air, look around me. It's usually the same birds, the same grass, but it's a good way to start the day. And if I forget, I get annoyed because I know I've missed out and I do it as soon as I can.
Oh, wonderful. There's
you suggest something like that. Just for a minute or so every day. It's a good habit to get into.
Certainly is. Yes, I can remember when we were down at Sidmouth and I was walking the dogs early in the morning. I would often meet Paul off on his walk as well. And at wherever else we've stayed, I can't remember the names of the places that we've been at foundations. Early in the morning, I'd meet Steve out for his walk. Just getting some fresh air, it helps you to think. Somehow it cleans away all the clutter so that you can think a bit more clearly and get your focus readjusted. Anybody else got any sort of those sorts of tips that help with getting out of the grime into the joy of the Lord? Hang on, we have a hand up over there. We have Anita. Anita, do you have a direction?
Yeah. I just wanted to share a little something because it was when my brother died. That was in 2010. And he wasn't a believer, but by the Lord's grace, I led him to the Lord 24 hours before he died. So that was an amazing, wonderful blessing that I never expected. And it was when David shared last night about his experience, it really showed me, because I never ever believed that my brother would ever come to faith. But the Lord did lead me to pray for him, and that was wonderful. The thing that really touched me during that time was it was in April, and April is the time of new beginnings. You know, it's spring, and it was a particularly lovely spring in 2010. The sun was very warm and gentle, and this all took place in Tottenham, in North London. And so it was a built-up area, so I wasn't in the countryside, although I lived in Essex. But going into my brother's flat to have to clear out and everything, and obviously for all of those of us who've lost loved ones, we know how painful and how emotionally that can be, how emotionally difficult that can be to go through that person's effects when they're no longer there. And I just longed to hear my brother's voice, you know, just to... Anyway, what touched me was the way the Lord blessed me every time I came out, because he was in the hospital. Every time I came out of the hospital, there was this wonderful, warm sunshine. And on the evening, he died on the Sunday evening on the 25th of April at about 7 o'clock. And I was there for another hour with him, and then I left him. I let you know after he died, and I stayed for a while with him, and then I left. And when I came out of side of the hospital to walk across to catch the bus, the sunshine was just so beautiful, was so warm, and I just felt the Lord was really healing my soul, healing my spirit. And I thought, Lord, what a time for my brother to die, right in the middle of spring when there should be new life. And yet I felt the Lord was saying, but it is a new life. It's a new life for him. It's a new beginning for him. Okay, he's not with us physically now, but he is with me and he is my son. I've accepted him. And I just want you to enjoy the beauty around you and leave him safely with me. And I was just so blessed. I was so blessed by that. And I cannot describe how lovely it was to have that wonderful, warm, healing sunshine. It was beautiful. So I just really thank the Lord for that.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much, Anita. Yeah, it's reminded me of something. Well, somebody tries to find where Peter and Shirley Deans are, because they've been waiting a while. I will tell you, while I was up in Scotland, the day that I knew I was taking... Ellie to the vets and she wasn't going to be coming home. I was up early that morning and the most amazing sunrise over the sea was such a gift from the Lord to me. I took photographs, but the memory of it is better than the photographs. It was such a special morning there because, you know, sunrise over the sea, you can't really beat it.
Peter?
Have you thought? Okay, Peter, Shirley, whichever of
Peter, I think.
That was me, yeah. I just want to share something that happened when I was on mission with Through Faith Missions on the Isle of Wight.
Uh-huh.
We all decided to go down to the beach to sing hymns and songs. Mm. And there weren't many people listening in, but there was one chap who stayed there and was listening just about the whole time. And I felt led to go over and talk to him, but I didn't quite pluck up the courage. But one of the other missionaries went and had a talk to him. And he was quite touched, especially when we sang Amazing Grace. Because he was a believer, but he had fallen away And hearing that hymn again reminded him of his conversion. And he recommitted his life to the Lord. But I just wanted to share that.
That is lovely. Yes. Thank you very much, Peter.
Can I just say that we've been on some very special walks since COVID-19. We've sort of seen lots of wildlife and we've stopped to look at it a lot more than what we would otherwise. Yeah, yeah, you can see the Lord in everything. Mm. More so, yeah. I think.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Ona, would you like to share with us?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to join in with all the nature lovers just to say that there's a walk that I go to every single day. It's the one I used to take our little dog on, but she's got a bit of a heart problem. So she only makes the front door, then goes back inside again, back onto her cushion. But the walks become more than just a kind of a fast-paced walk, because I can't walk very fast. I got a wonky knee. It has become a stroll, and it takes me across this piece of land that's called Land for Heroes. And it was dedicated to First World War veterans who came back from the war. And so it's all farmland. There are about 40 farms there, and there are sheep. This is South London. We're right on the border of South London. And I've noticed as more people have been coming up to get their daily exercise, it used to be empty February, before February. No one would go for a walk there. People are going, their earphones on, and they're running, and they're not really looking or talking. In fact, most of them aren't even smiling. They look really unhappy. So I challenge people, you know, I just smile and I say, hello, make a big smile and try and start a conversation with people. You could get run over by a bicycle. A lot of people cycle up there really fast. But it's just been a way, and it's really funny because people actually do stop and talk. And the nicest thing for me is actually having people smile back. And as they start smiling, we start cracking jokes and telling stories. We're all well distanced, hands in pockets. Then we start laughing, and I actually find laughter is one of the greatest things that breaks any kind of depression that I have. And it could be just a child on a bike going past saying hello, or just actually seeing a fallow deer cross my path as it's come off the herb field, which is very rare, but one actually crossed over today out of blue, and we don't often see them. And so God can surprise you if you go into an area and you think, oh gosh, everyone looks miserable and sad, but actually if they're saying, well, I'm waiting for a surprise, Lord. So I'm just saying, you know, go, that's the enjoyment I get, and I hopefully I can lift people's spirits up. And I've got a handful of gospel leaflets in my pocket and outreach if I need to. I've never yet been able to pass one over, but I just feel that perhaps we need to learn to smile a little bit more. And yeah, we can laugh in COVID-19, you know, no one's told us we can't do that. So that's just my bit.
Thank you very much, Ona. Yes. Yeah. And I'm well aware that there are probably people here who have had to stay in for weeks and weeks and weeks because their situation, it means it's safer to be at bay at home. And that must be very difficult, hearing us talking about being outdoors and all the rest of it. And I apologise for that. But what we can all do, we all have some amount of memory. And we've all had different times when things were easier for us and when we enjoyed outdoors. And we can go back and to maybe holidays you had with the children or when you were a child and remember good things that God has, good places God's taken you to, perhaps. So I think that's something that we can all do, is pray for the people who are stuck indoors, who can't get outside. Remember them in our prayers, that God will just surprise them with some little bit of, there's a, what's it called, surprised by joy. And I think sometimes we try to work too hard at it, but there's so much that if we just look around, even in our houses, and as most of us know, we sometimes get wildlife in our houses. unwanted, maybe. When you find something in the bath with long legs. But there you go. They're good to look at, and when they're trapped in the bath, you can have a good look at them without them running over you, and then you decide how you deal with it afterwards. Okay, now we have a lady who's been waiting a while. Moira, do you have a testimony for us? We're not looking for songs at the moment, but we are looking for testimonies of joy in dark places.
You don't need to worry, I won't burst into song. I just wanted to give a testimony.
Lovely, thank you.
I went to Russia 20 years ago, and I was with a young girl walking down a railway track, and she suddenly stopped me very quickly and went and tapped her ear. And I listened, and then suddenly I heard this beautiful bird song, and it was a nightingale, and I'd never heard a nightingale in my life. So off I went home again, you know, and about 10 years later, I was on a trip in France. It was to do with teachers doing French courses. And it was a lovely part of France. And it was a week long, but I was really down in the doldrums, feeling really quite depressed, because I was having problems with my husband and things weren't going well. And we went to Mont Michel, or whatever it's called, St. Michael's Mount, the French one, on a coach trip. And everybody else went herring up to look around the building. And I thought, I can't be with people. I just want to be on my own. And the tide was out. So I was able to walk round the back of the castle, round the back of the mound. And I found a rock and I sat down on it. And about 3 seconds later, a nightingale sang. And I knew it was a nightingale because I'd heard it 10 years earlier. If I hadn't heard it before, I wouldn't have known that was a nightingale. And it was just, it just raised my spirit so much. I just knew how much God loved me because of that. And it occurs to me, you know, when God created the whole earth and Adam, he didn't have to create birds and animals, you know, he didn't have to. But I really believe he had that purpose. He was going to use nature and animals to lift the spirit of man.
Yes.
And when my mother died and we had her funeral, the coffin was in the middle of the aisle at the front, and right at the end, a shaft of, because I didn't know if she was born again or not. I was really concerned because she didn't like me talking about it. She was a Catholic. So a shaft of sunlight suddenly lit up the coffin, just one shaft of sunlight. And as it did it, a blackbird began to sing. You know how beautiful blackbird song is. And I just felt like Father God had just picked me up and was hugging me. It was incredible. So that was it, just a testimony about how he uses nature and the animals and the birds.
Yeah.
They're there for us, and we should appreciate them, really appreciate them.
Yeah.
So if I want to be cheered up, I go and look out my garden, my back window, and look for birds. And if I see one, I'll go out and see if I can hear it.
Lovely. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Moira. Thank you. Thank you. There's a lot of nods and smiles going on. Yes. Okay. Betty, let's hear what you have to share with us.
Yes, I didn't know that I had anything to share really, Christine, but when you were talking about people that hadn't been out for, we've pretty much been locked down since March the 16th. Mm. We just go for half an hour, brisk walk around the street sort of thing. And my husband absolutely adores high places, mountains, wild places. The wilder the better, the higher the better. He hasn't been able to do that so much since he's been ill, which has been since 2002. But we've got, every time we went on holiday, we're in the Alps or in the highlands of Scotland or wherever, Norway, we had a lovely holiday. I used to keep a holiday log and take photographs and everything. We've got the logs there, and this has been an ideal time to read those logs and remember. And it's amazing, because I don't think we could have done it earlier, because it would be too raw that he can't do it now, but because we've been prevented from doing it, then that's spurred us on, and we relive. We can see them in our mind's eyes. We can see the lovely views and the, you know, the mountains and the and I used to say we were still working then, and I was quite pressured in my job. I allowed myself to be pressured in my job, let's put it that way. But the thing with mountain climbers, you can't think about anything else sometimes, and putting one foot in front of the other, it really does clear your mind.
Yes.
But that's what, you know, that's what we do, and it does really transport us. And I was just thinking when you're talking, you know, so often we leave these things until somebody has gone and we start looking through memories, and to do it now, I think is a good time.
That is really good advice. Yeah, thank you, Betty. Thanks for that. Yes. Yeah, and if anybody, I'm sure there are people here who have family or friends who are living with some form of dementia. And to the older memories, the ones that remain, and just talking about to them, even if they're unable to respond, about things that happened ages ago. And certainly song and music is very, very important. And, you know, going back over the old memories can be very, very helpful. Okay, let's have Lynn next. Lynn, what would you like to share with us? You'll get on, there you go.
I'm one of those who would sing a lot if I'm down, but I actually find I'm a big supporter of the persecuted church. And I actually found, particularly at the beginning, in fact, going back to January, the Lord speaking to me very much about our brothers and sisters who are incarcerated, when we think particularly of Aisha Bibi and people like that. And it just makes us aware of what it's like for our brothers and sisters to be whipped off the streets. And, you know, when we think of Aisha Bibi in a prison cell with no daylight and nothing, and I think it's it makes us give thanks, but it also encourages us to pray for our brothers and sisters who aren't as fortunate as we are, and who aren't you know, when we think at the beginning of lockdown, there was a lot of shortages of food in the shops. Interestingly enough, we couldn't get flour or eggs for ages, but other people, you know, family members said, oh, no problem where we are. So it makes, for me, it makes me think very much of the persecuted church. And I suppose really, because I've met a lot of people and been a volunteer and a church rep, but a volunteer for Release International, and travelled with Open Doors and things like that. And I think it puts a whole different perspective on how we are. You know, we can't go out. I can look out my window, even people who haven't got a garden, can look out a window and see the blue sky, which people who are in the persecuted church and imprisoned often won't see the sky for a year or more because they're in some kind of underground cell. So I think sometimes, and I'm sorry, you know, because everyone's been saying such lovely stuff, and I do like going out, and I've been out for lots of walks with my dog this week, but yes, so I do like it, and I do like being in the garden, but I think it also helps us, the things we're in with COVID, helps us to realise how blessed we are and to think of the others. Sorry to put a damper on things.
That's fine. Thank you, Lynn. Yeah, we need, whatever situation we're in, we can count our blessings. And naming them one by one, as the song goes, can be very, very helpful. Now then, Moira, I'd like to bring you in next, my dear. I know you've been having... Thank you, Moira. I think you're on. Okay, what would you like to share with us?
I was following on what Betty was saying about memories. And if you remember, the last time I saw my mum was when she was in hospital in April with COVID. And then she died in June. And I spent a lot of time watching programmes about grief on the television, because I was still going to grief whatever happened in September. Of course, it didn't happen, did it? But the Lord, in a moment, said to me, go to Tynmouth, Devon. And Tynmouth was a very special place to my mum because she was evacuated there. We had childhood holidays there. And I had just recently unearthed her diary. her memories, as she called it, about all the time she was in Tynmouth. So I took her diary with me to Tynmouth, and I spent a week walking around Tynmouth, looking at all the places that were special to her, special to me. And the weather, of course, was not like in Greece. One day I went across the River Teme to Sheldon, and teeming with rain, sat and had my cream tea with the rain pouring over the sun, the parasol, had to rush to get the little ferry back to Tynmouth. And I was right at the end, and there was just one space left. And there was the lady in front of me turned around, saw my Star of David, asked if I was Jewish, and I said no, but explained why I was wearing it. And then she started to ask me about being a Christian. Now, it's only about 5 minutes across that river, but by the time we got to the other side and we walked just a little way, I had shared what it meant to be a Christian to her. And she was also mourning her mum. I think the death was quite a while before. But that really gave me a song in my heart. I have to say, that was just on that day, even though it was raining, that was the icing on the cake. And that was just so special.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing it with us, Moira. Yeah, yes. Yes, God so often loves to give us the icing on the cake and the cherry on the top very often as well. Yes, there's a lot of people identifying with that. That is lovely. Now, Shani, you've been waiting a little while.
Thank you. Sorry, I hate having to wear this. It looks really weird.
Well, don't worry about the look. It's
I know. It's you know.
Yeah,
the signals it gives out. Yes, it was, sorry, about memories and spending time with Jeremy's parents, who are very elderly now. His father's 93, but both of them are losing their sight. Mm. So they have their photos through the television. Mm-hmm. And because we go over every Friday, my mother-in-law is starting to put them on again. And initially, John was saying, oh, not these again. But now he's actually getting engrossed in them and starting to sort of wake up and take notice and starting to reminisce more. And I think while they've still got their sight, it's really important to keep looking at them and remind them of the things that they've done. Like, they went on a holiday of a lifetime and things like that, and going back to where they used to live and so on. And I just they haven't really been out, so I think that's been very good for them.
Mm. Yes, yeah,
and opportunities to pray with them as well.
Yeah
lovely. Thank you very much, Shani. Thank you. Moira's back again. Come on then, Moira.
It was basically just a PS. I knew I'd forget something. When my mum was in, because my mum was blind as well, so, you know, being in hospital and isolation and all that with no company, I asked her, I suggested to her that she went over all her holidays in her head. Mm-hmm. And it just tickled me when I saw her in hospital, and I said, well, are you still doing your travels? Oh, yes, she said, I've been all around the world. I'm a bit sick of them at the moment. I mean, she didn't quite mean it that way, but, you know, she'd done them all. And so that fitted in with my going to Tynmouth and walking around with her diary.
Yeah. Oh, that is wonderful. Yeah. Mm. Yes, isn't it wonderful that God has given us memories? He didn't have to. We could have been just going from day to day, but he's allowed us to retain things from the past. I've never thought about that before. Okay, there's a lot of things from the past that many of us would like to forget. And with God, we can get them dealt with and put them away in the right places. and not have them worry us anymore and affect our lives. We talked about that this week. But it's amazing how God has created us. It is just absolutely amazing. Marion, what would you like to share?
Well, I'm slightly different to a lot of people because I live in a village. And although I'm late 70s, a lot of the people around me are in their 90s. So I've been sort of doing their shopping. And that was good because I was able to see them. It's sometimes just through the window. We were able to talk. And going out every day, at first it was just walking around and getting some fresh air. But then, of course, I was able to do the shopping more than once a week. And I met people. And although we were wearing masks, we were able to still smile because you could smile with your eyes. And it was good. But I've actually spent most of my time actually on the phone, not been going out. But it's been fantastic because people, the ones who can't go out at all, can talk on the phone. And it's been, I've had some brilliant conversations with people. And sometimes it goes on for over an hour, you know, just talking about things. And of course, they all know I'm a Christian anyway. So, you know, you can't help talking about Jesus, can you? So it's been a good time. You know, it's really been a good time. I do miss going out with my dog because my last dog died about 7 years ago now. And but I still miss that because I've got the fields opposite, and I look at them and think, oh, I really ought to be out there. I can see other people out there. But the blessing has been just to be with people and talking to people. And it's brought joy to me as well as joy to them and relief to them sometimes as well, yeah. Because we've got to know one another better over the phone, even when we were meeting. And so there's been a good relationships being built up. So it's been a blessed time.
That is so encouraging, isn't it? Yeah, because we don't know how much longer this is all going to go on for. I entered lockdown with not quite the right attitude. I'm not sure if I might have mentioned this the other day. Well, somebody stop me if I did. I never know who I've said what to. But at the beginning of it, I think we all didn't expect it to last that long. But I thought, oh, well, this is business as usual for me, you know. I don't see that many people. I live quite an isolated life, etc. So I thought, well, you know, business as usual. But of course, then it dragged on and I began to feel it as well. Yes, I can see the odd nodding head of people who agree with this. Anyway, we'll not go down that route again. I'm sure Colin's got something to encourage us with. Go for it, Colin.
Yes, we were looking, what was it at the joy? Well, how to get out of the...
really the doldrums.
Yeah, focusing on the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
How to get out. One thing I always focused on, I found helpful to me, was focusing on the love of God. Now, living in Northern Ireland, I got a good healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. I mean, all my life, I guess, that has been a constant as well. But sometimes you nearly can't believe in the love of God because there is so much fear given to you. And there are two hymns, well, you mentioned songs that I'd just like to refer to in a personal note. And one is, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.
Oh, yes.
I won't sing it, but it sort of goes, O Love That Will Not Let
Me Go. Yeah, we know it, yeah.
And there is a line in it that says, I trace the rainbow through the rain. And it was written by a man called George Matheson, who was a Church of Scotland minister in a little town called Inellen on the River Clyde. And my mother moved to Inellen after my stepfather died. She moved into a little bungalow and she became a Church of Scotland elder, which was an answer to prayer for me because my mother was an unbeliever for many years. So although it was quite a staid sort of position in her church, she had a faith. And she told me our church is called the Matheson Church. And I said, why is that? Because George Matheson was the minister there in the 1800s and wrote this beautiful hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." And so it became personal, really, to my mother living there. And I remember writing an article for the Methodist Recorder about the history of this man. And I got it laminated for the church and they put it up. And when my mum died, actually, the minister said, "Oh, you're the person who wrote the article." So, but when my stepfather died, my mum and my sister and I went down in the car, hearse, I can't remember, down the River Clyde to the funeral parlor where we had to, mum was viewing this, my stepfather in the coffin. But as we were going down, there were three rainbows, three in a row, across the River Clyde. And Clyde is my twin brother's name, and he wasn't able to be with us, so it was kind of significant as well. There's three rainbows over the Clyde. And of course, my mom was saying, "Oh, that's Tony's departed," you know. But there are signs in nature, you know, rainbows come to mean such a negative symbol now, and yet the original symbol of God is good. But three rainbows is quite rare. You don't often see that. And it was just at that moment, sister and mom and me in the car together, bit gloomy, bit, you know, but then the thought of that hymn, "I trace the rainbow through the rain," it just matched what we were seeing in the typical Misley Scottish weather. And then there's another hymn called "The Love of God." "The love of God is greater far." It's actually a poem. And I didn't know it was written by a Jewish man. It was written by a rabbi in the year 1050. So it's a very old poem. And I'd like to read it to you. Jewish people, when they went to war, used to have this. It was called a Book of Jewish Thoughts. They wouldn't have the New Testament like other soldiers. So this is from 1942, the Book of Jewish Thoughts with the chief rabbi in it. And actually, I opened it up tonight. I didn't realize. Look, there's a little poppy inside it being pressed in the book.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. It must have belonged to some reason. Sorry, I get a pain in my kidney when I move like that. I'd just like you to read you that verse from "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." It became a Christian hymn, but the one verse in it's from the rabbi says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies with parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song." And I chose that hymn when I gave a public testimony in Bangor when I had difficulties a couple of years ago. And I always described it as the worst day of my life. And that was the song I chose. I said, "Before I speak, I've only one thing I can say. I appeal to the love of God." And that's what I do when I'm down. I think of God's love. And then I get joy. Amen.
Amen. Yes. We're hearing that from the man who has been through an awful lot of difficulties and health issues and all sorts. And yeah, I think it's, yet again, it's the people who've been there that can teach us so much, so much. Thank you so much,
Colin. It's just amazing how all the things link together like that. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Now, I have a question for either Steve or David Searle. If I forward to you something that's just a photograph that's just been sent to me, would you be able to put it up on a screen share? Either David or Steve.
Is Steve there? Because David isn't at the moment.
Oh, right, Steve. Steve. Right, Steve.
Oh.
Wakey, wakey.
You've woken me up.
I'm sorry. Yeah, as I said this morning, I didn't say it to everybody, but to the co-hosting team. The team are all thoroughly exhausted. Now, Steve, what it is, I have been had a superb photograph sent to me. And if I was to pass it back to you, via one of these groups, would you be able to screen share it?
We'll do it and then I'll let you know.
Okay, right. Forward. Don't worry, I talk to myself when I'm trying to do things.
David, let me know if you need him.
I bet it's all this talk about nature.
I didn't say anything, David. I just said you weren't there at the moment.
At the corner.
We're talking about water too much, have we?
What's required?
Do you want us to share a picture, I think? Christine?
Nigel's. Yes, I'm forwarding it to somebody to be able to do. I'm forwarding it to the
I see.
One of the groups. You got it, Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't sound very positive, does he?
No.
let's see if
it. I'll tell you what, we'll have a race. Send it to David as well, so you can do it first.
Okay. What am I doing? Oh, Nigel. Right, okay. What am I doing here with this? It's sitting. Oh, that's the one I forwarded. Yeah, right. Okay. Can you send it to David?
I'll send it to David. Yeah.
I lost the plot here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Earlier today, when we were batting messages around between the different groups to get things sorted, my fingers and my brain were just completely disjointed. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's see if we can get this picture up.
Oh, you're waiting for it.
We're waiting for it. Yeah.
It's just downloading at the moment.
There is a controversy that it may be fake news. One of the clues is the writing at the top. The word triple is spelled with two P's.
Well, it's in Israel. Come on, don't expect them to be able to spell
a hard T. let's get that up there. Screen share.
Who's going to get there first?
I don't have a Photoshop thing on my computer.
Bit of a race going on here.
David's very skilled. Look at that. Look how quick that was.
Wouldn't it take at least two suns to make that?
Yeah, that's why I thought we shouldn't really share it because it's not how the rainbows work. To my knowledge, I may be wrong, but it's not how rainbows work. To my knowledge, when you get a double rainbow, it looks like a double rainbow is right, but that third one intersecting them, I've never seen that.
It couldn't, could it? You'd need two light sources.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll move swiftly on, shall we? David.
Nice try.
David, wherever you are, I can't see on this. Could you share us the one with the eagle that you sent? I saw it down the bottom there. You sent it.
Oh, yeah. Hang on, just wait for that. I've got it.
I'm sure people will enjoy that. Let's have
I've got it some... here somewhere. It's in my F14 folder. No, not there. It's here. Eagle JPEG. Right, back to here. Screen share. I talk to myself as well.
Yeah, it's best way, I think.
You get sensible answers that way. Yeah. Can anybody, do you want me to read the wording over the top?
Yes, please, yeah. David.
The only bird that dares to peck at an eagle is the crow. He sits on his back and bites his neck. However, the eagle does not respond nor fight with the crow. It simply doesn't waste time or energy on the crow. It simply opens its wings and begins to rise higher in the heavens. The higher the flight, the harder it is for the crow to breathe. And then the crow falls due to lack of oxygen. Stop wasting your time and energy with crows. Just take them to your heights and they'll fade. The enemy will sit behind your back and bite your neck. But those who wait for the Lord will have new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Isaiah 40:31.
Thank you. That is beautiful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I think our last contribution is going to be from Colin, and then I've got my eye on somebody to Yeah, never mind. Colin first. I'm waffling.
Yes, and it was just a quick PS. I'll only be a few seconds.
Okay.
Well, first of all, those three rainbows, I think you're right about that picture, because the rainbows I saw were all parallel together, you know.
Mm.
And so I do believe you can have three rainbows, but I don't know what happened. That picture maybe tampered with. But however, the main thing I left out was George Matheson's, why he wrote that song, because when Moira referred to her mother being blind, that's what put it into my head to speak about it. And then I didn't mention that he was about to be married and he had a fiance and he was going to Edinburgh Bible College, whatever, and he started to go blind. And eventually when he realized he's going to lose his sight, his fiance said she didn't want to marry a blind man. And so he realized the marriage was off. At the time of his sister's wedding in Inelin, at the manse, he was, the party went off to Edinburgh at the wedding party, and he was left on his own in the manse. And that night he felt that loneliness, that he would never marry. His sister, by the way, had helped him in the blindness, assisting him. Now he'd lost his helper. And he just felt so alone, and he said, "Oh, love that will not let me go." And that was the heart-wrenching feelings that brought the hymn about. He was a hymn writer. He'd done a whole hymn book of hymns. That was the only hymn that he wrote in a very quick space of time. And the man who wrote the melody said the same thing. So it was definitely inspired. I forgot to mention the main reason why the song was written by this blind hymn writer, who used to stand up in Edinburgh. He went to a larger church and he used to speak from memory that the congregation didn't even know he was blind. So remarkable story. Encouraged. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Colin. Thank you.
I may have solved the triple rainbow mystery,
yes, by a bit
of quick Googling, follow it up myself. But the one that intersects, the third one, is because the sunlight is reflected back off a body of water. And if you're standing near enough to the body of water, you see another one as it's reflected, as the sunlight's reflected back again. But I can't guarantee that personally. It's just a quick Google search on that sort of thing. So thanks, it might not be that fake. It's just a bit weird.
Yeah. Oh, we've got a thumbs up.
I'm getting a thumbs up from Kit. So, okay. Yep. Anyway, Google it yourself.
Thank you very much. Now then, we've had a very, very busy week. We're all tired. And it'd be good that if we can have a good night's sleep tonight, not have to have a bit longer to wind down. I'm getting some head nodding going on. Good, that's the right decision. So we're going to finish a bit earlier tonight so that tomorrow we can be a bit more refreshed to be able to enjoy sharing tomorrow, because we're going to want to hear from you about what's happened this week for you. And what God's been doing, what's been so special, et cetera, et cetera. I think most of you know the score for a sort of a Friday morning from Foundations. There's other bits and pieces going to be happening as well, which Steve may speak about in a moment. Do you want to talk about tomorrow before we close, Steve, or after?
Quick mention. It's the usual stuff, though, just a bit of an assessment by myself and the team and testimonies, and we'll be looking at the timeline in its final state, plus the dance. There's a little video made up, I believe, a bit of music. I think for the first time, though, we haven't really talked about this, but I think we're gonna share communion together tomorrow. So get the elements ready, bread and wine, so I'm sure you've got some lying around. That's about all I'm going to mention.
Yeah. Okay, right. Now then, Robert, would you like to wind the evening up for us in prayer, please?
Father, we just thank and praise you for this day. We thank you for the multitude of blessings and the multitude of testimonies of the work that you've done in the lives of the body represented here. pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will have a good night's sleep and will wake fully refreshed in the morning. And I pray that those who are physically able will take up the advice that we've been given and will venture forth before the first slot of the morning. And Lord, I just pray that you'll prepare all our hearts for what you're going to do tomorrow. Because even though it's the last day, it isn't the end. It is a new beginning. And I ask, Lord, that you will prepare each and every one of us for what you have got as we walk on this pilgrimage of life. We pray protection over each and every one this night, Lord, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi. Well, good night, everybody. Thank you so much for all your contributions tonight. I'm sure there's been something there for each one of us. Night, night, everyone. See you in the morning.
Night.
Night.
Good night.